Good evening. So we sang this last song, Living by Faith, and I heard Kurt mention it this morning, and I was like, wait, did he know that that was what my sermon was going to be on? I was like, how did he know? But so when you think of faith, what does it mean to you? Is it just blind belief, or is it something more? So what is the Bible, how does it define faith? I'm going to be reading from Hebrews chapter 11. Now verse 1 says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." So let's look at faith in the life of Abraham. Verse 8 says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going." His faith was what prompted his obedience. He didn't know where he was going, but he did because God told him to. Verses 9 through 10 say, "By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. He pitched a tent because he knew his passing in this world was temporary, because by faith he was looking into the next world. We have no permanent dwelling in this world, and Abraham knew that." Verses 17 through 19. "By Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, 'It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned,' Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. By faith, Abraham knew that even if he sacrificed his son, God would have brought him back regardless, because Abraham believed his promise to him. Abraham had faith in God, and he was rewarded. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. The same is true for us today."
Now, everybody, this is a story about Daniel. Long, long ago, in a faraway land, there lived a young man named Daniel. When Daniel was a boy, he was taken from his home in Judah to live in a city called Babylon, where he went to school in the palace of the Babylonian king. Daniel missed his home so much. And every day he prayed that God would take care of his family and his friends and look after him too. God heard his prayers and helped Daniel become wise as he grew older, till everyone in the palace knew of his wisdom. Then one night, while Babylon was sleeping, the king had a dream. Well, Daniel was be able to explain the king's dream, and this made the king very happy. This was very good news for Daniel, but very bad news for the wise men. You see, each one of them wanted to be second in command. Now that Daniel got the job, the wise men will have to do whatever he said. This made the wise men very unhappy. They immediately started thinking the ways to get rid of Daniel. The very next morning, the wise men appeared before King Darius to try to trap Daniel with their scheme. Everyone in Babylon heard about the new law, including Daniel. But Daniel also knew God's law and God's law told him that he should only pray to God. So the next day, just like every other day, Daniel prayed and thanked God for the sunshine and all of his friends. He also thanked God for giving him the courage to do what was right, even when he knew it could get him in trouble. And that's what happens. The wise men threw Daniel into the lion's den, and he's trapped. But then, something strange was about to happen. The faith had came on Daniel, and then he looked up, and what did he see? Nothing but heaven. Even though he still didn't know what to expect, Daniel felt better when he remembered that God was taking care of him, even in the lion's den. Elsewhere in the kingdom, the wise men were busy congratulating themselves for being so clever. While the king, believing that he lost a good friend, decided the only thing he could do was to pray that Daniel's God would protect him. The next morning, everyone ran down to the lion's den to see what was left of Daniel. When King Darius looked down to the lion's den, he sighed. Guess what he said? "It's hopeless. No one could survive a night with those lions." "Hello? Did you hear something? Hello? Daniel, is that you? Oh yeah, I'll be right up. I just had to say goodbye to my new friends. It's impossible." "Yes, it is." "Well, hello everybody. See you guys later." "It's a miracle." And then, when everybody had prayed to Daniel's God, one of the wise men whispered that they think they're going to look for wise men down in Egypt. And then King Darius and Daniel chased after the wise men all the way to the end.
The gospel, what do you think is the most important thing in life? Some say it's money, and some say it's sports, and some say it's family. What do you think is the most important thing in the Bible? Staying away from sin, and obeying God with all your heart. Tonight I want to show you what was most important to Paul. Please turn to 1 Corinthians 15, 1-8. "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I pass it on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised and on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also, to one abnormally unborn." Christ died for our sins. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Peter 3:18. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Christ was buried and raised. Philippians 3:10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in sufferings, becoming like him in his death. John 11:25. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. Christ appeared to over 500 people. John 20:27. Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believing. John 20:28. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. In conclusion, the gospel is most important because it saves. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Make the gospel the most important thing in your life.
If God promised to give you one thing, what would you guys choose? Some would choose a new car, some would choose a lot of money. If you were like my grandpa Virgil, you would choose the biggest fish. Did you know God asked Solomon this question? He didn't choose a car, he didn't choose money, and he didn't choose a big fish. Let's listen to what Solomon did choose. Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5 through 12.
I'll be reading 1 Kings chapter 3, 5 through 12. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God asked, ask what you wish me to give you. And Solomon said, you have shown great loving kindness to your servant David, my father, according as he walked before thee in truth and righteousness and uprightness of heart toward thee. And you have reserved for him this great loving kindness, that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made thy servant king in place of my father David, yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which you have chosen, a great people who cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? And it was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said to him, because you have asked this thing, and have not asked for yourself long life, nor have you asked riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Behold, I have given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before you, nor shall one like you arise after you.
Chapter 4, verse 29.
Verse 29 of chapter 4. Now God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind, like the sands that is on the seashore.
Solomon asked for wisdom. God gave it to him. God also gave him more than he asked for. Would you ask for wisdom? Wisdom is better than jewels. Proverbs 8:11. God's wisdom and treasure are found in Jesus. Colossians 2:3. If you lack wisdom, ask God. He says he will give it to you. James 1:5.
Good evening. What is one thing that God cares most about? Some say it's earning money. Some say it's the computer on Facebook. And some say it's sports. And I say it's having a relationship with God. The one thing he wants is for us to have a relationship with him. What is one thing that we can all improve on in our spiritual lives? Spending more time reading the Bible, sharing God's words with others, helping others, praying daily. God wants all of these. Tonight I'm going to tell you one thing that God wants from all of us. He wants us to pray. So why devote yourself to pray? I will be reading Colossians 4, 2 through 4. Spend a lot of time in prayer always. Be watchful and thankful. Pray for us too. Pray that God will open a door for our messages. Then we can preach the mystery of Christ, because I have preached it too. I am being held by chains. Pray that I will preach it clearly as I should. We pray to seek help from God. A time for praying. I will be reading Mark 1, 35. It was very early in the morning and still dark. Jesus got up and left the house. He went to a place where he could be alone, and there he prayed. I will also be reading Matthew 14:23. After he had sent them away, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. In these examples, we see Christ getting away to focus on God. He sought solitude to remove distractions. How and where to pray? I will be also reading Luke 22:39 through 46. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives. His disciples followed him. When they were there and reached the place, Jesus spoke, "Pray that you won't fall into sin when you are tempted." He said to them, "When you went a short distance away from them," there he got down on his knees and prayed. He said, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup of suffering away from me. But do not do what I want, do what you will want." An angel came from heaven and appeared to Jesus and gave him strength. Because he was very sad and troubled, he prayed even harder. His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. After that, he got up from the prayer and went back to his disciples. He found them sleeping because they were worn out and very sad. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up, pray that you won't fall into sin when you are tempted." In this example, Jesus got down on his knees. He asked not to fall into sin, that we will not be tempted. We should ask for things to be done according to God's will. A prayer is highly personal. Instead of being unduly regulated and restricted, a prayer should be free and spontaneous, as it is a talk with God. Finally, finding a place of solitude to focus on God will help with our daily walks.
What do you say after that but amen? I'm a little worried now. I might be out of a job. I'm going to come to the office this week and find all my books packed out of here, you know. Excellent job. I can't tell you how proud we are of our young men. I'm always reminded what Paul told the young preacher Timothy, let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe. And that takes a lot of courage, a lot of faith. You know, I told Cameron, I told Estevan and others that I was 25 before I did that. And now look at these young men. That is just, does that not give you hope for the future of this church? I mean, that's wonderful. And I appreciate the foresight of Lee and Darren and Ken and the hard work. Just realizing the importance of this for our young men and our young women. Right now they're spending some time with Brenda and going through some great material, and that's so important to the future of our church. But we're proud of you guys. Keep it up. I know Lee was telling me that he'd like to do this a couple times a year, and I think that's a good thing. I say we just keep doing that every year. And so guys, get your next sermon seed going, and let's start working on it. But excellent job. We are extremely proud of you. Virgil, will you lead us in a song or two? We've got a little bit of time, so.
My book's open to invitation songs, but invitation songs have great message. And while we're singing a couple of invitation songs, if you're stirred within and you want to respond, we'll just come forward. The first is 935.